Wonderful. Take your Bible, turn to Proverbs chapter number 3. Would you do that? Proverbs 3. It's so good to be back at Ambassador. I appreciate so much this place, and I'm glad to see you. I'm glad for what God's doing in your life, and I want to encourage you just to stay at it. Just stay at it. There's somebody out there that needs you to stay at it. So stay at it. Don't get discouraged. Don't quit. Don't give up. If you fall down, get back up. If you get lagged behind, then catch up and just stay at it, because somebody out there needs you to be stalwart and true to the Lord, and I hope that you'll just stay at it. I'm so thankful that God has raised up this place for such a time as this, and I'm glad that you're here training, and I want to encourage you just to keep your eyes focused and keep your head down and keep your knees bent and your heart humble and tender to the Word of God, because God has something for you, and He has something specific. Some of you, God is developing dreams right now in your own heart of ministry and opportunity, and those dreams, don't ever despise them. Long after Joseph had a dream, God fulfilled it. But it wasn't until he was put away in exile and he was falsely accused and put down in a pit. And it was long after that. And I don't know if Joseph thought maybe that thing's not really going to come to pass. Maybe my dream is not going to be fulfilled. But it's exciting after you stay in ministry for a while and the Lord begins to give you dreams and vision of what he wants you to do and how he wants you to be used and how he wants to use you. It's exciting to be able to see some of that come to pass. And that'll happen for you. Some of it will happen right away, and some of it will happen after God's taken you aside and put you through a crucible of testing. But don't give up on your dreams. I'm excited about being here and excited about you all. And I want you to know that I pray for you all, and I thank God for this place. And I'm praying that God will continue to bless it in a mighty way. Proverbs chapter 3 is where our Bible's open. Let's stand. Can we, out of respect for God's Word? Proverbs chapter 3 in the Word of God. Notice what the Bible says in Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Proverbs chapter 3, 5, and 6. The Bible says, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths." Father, help me as I preach this morning to preach with power and clarity. I pray that everyone here would understand the truth of the Word of God that's given. And Lord, we'll thank you for what you do and praise you, because we ask all of this in Jesus' precious name. Amen. You may be seated. I suppose that forever January 26th will be remembered as the day that Kobe Bryant and his sweet daughter and another family and the pilot flying the helicopter crashed in Southern California. It was a sad day and a tragic day that's even been relived in the last week or so, with the memorial service for Kobe Bryant. But I was talking to a pilot last week. He has flown the helicopter that they were all in when they went down. He said, "I've flown hundreds of hours in that helicopter." I said, "Well, do you have any idea what happened?" He said, "The pilot flew it right into the ground." I said, "What do you mean?" Now, this pilot had flown for the Air Force. He had flown commercially. He said he flew it right into the ground. He went into a fog bank and he lost his way. He said that happens many times. And he said what he failed to do was to follow the instruments. He failed to follow the instruments. Now, he was flying a helicopter, but on a regular plane, there is an instrument panel that has more or less, but at least has the following. It has an airspeed indicator on the top left. It has an altitude indicator in the top center. That tells you where you are at in relationship to the ground. It has an altimeter. It has a turn coordinator, which shows you that you're making a turn properly. It has a heading indicator to show you your compass, where you're at, northeast, southeast, northwest, and a vertical speed indicator. And that instrument panel is not there just to take up space in the plane or the helicopter. It's there to follow. And there are times when you're going through life and you can't see. The pilot last week who had flown for the Air Force and flown commercially and flown hundreds of hours in that very helicopter that went down with Kobe and his daughter, that he said sometimes, he said, you'll be going along just fine, and he said your entire windshield will go black. You'll go blind. You can't see. And he said, you think that you've got control, and you think that you can pull out of it. He said, you have to trust your instruments. You have to follow the instruments. I want to preach to you this morning on the subject, follow the instruments. Follow the instruments, the instrument panel. He said he went, he began to go into a roll, and he descended 1,200 feet until he finally hit the ground. He said all he had to do, he said, I know this helicopter. He said, I've flown it. He said, there have been times when I've flown it and I've lost sight. He said all he had to do was flip a little lid on his left and push a button. And he said that helicopter would have all of a sudden risen 750 feet a minute, and he could have pulled out of it. He said sometimes when you're flying along in a helicopter, he said you bank or you turn or weather disrupts what's going on, and he said you can roll. I said, well, then it's over. He said, no, it's not over. He said, you push that button, and he said, that thing will go into autopilot, and he said, it'll start to rise 750 feet a minute, and you can get out of that roll and that descent. But somehow, he failed to follow his instruments. Now, I'm not here to destroy Eric Zabayan's testimony or reputation or whatever, but I am here to make a point that you've got to follow the instruments. And sometimes, young people, when you're in life, you lose your visual. You don't know which way to go. Sometimes right now you're experiencing that, just on a smaller level than you will. And you've got to go back to the instrument of the Word of God and the instrument of the indwelling Holy Spirit and the instrument of prayer and the instrument that will be tested and will be proven in the midst of trial and difficulty. I want you to understand this morning the importance of following the instruments. When they train pilots, they train them with IFR, which is an instrument rating. That means they want those pilots to fly in good weather, in bad, in good visuals, in bad. And there is what's called an instrument approach. That means the control tower can bring a vehicle in or an airplane in from the tower just by using the instruments. Now, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 gives us a powerful truth along these lines. It says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. This is a verse that's been put up in calligraphy and on parchment and quoted time and time again and memorized in Sunday school, but it ought to be a verse that we don't just give a nod to. It ought to be a verse that we internalize. I remember at the breakfast, the graduate breakfast or brunch when I was graduating in 95, they asked some of the faculty and staff to go around and just give their testimony and give a word of encouragement and advice. And I remember Miss Rosenau giving a word of advice, and she began to tear up. And she said, just keep trusting the Lord. Now that seemed almost redundant. I mean, of course we're going to trust the Lord, but it doesn't seem redundant when you lose a visual. It doesn't seem redundant when the wind's knocked out of you. It doesn't seem redundant when a close friend commits suicide, who's a friend in the ministry. It doesn't seem redundant when you've looked right, left, up, down, backwards, and forwards, and you can't see your way. It doesn't seem redundant when your children struggle with Satan's attacks. It doesn't seem redundant. It doesn't seem redundant when your church turns against you. It doesn't seem redundant when support doesn't seem to be coming in the way you think it's supposed to come in. It doesn't seem redundant when the ones you love betray you. It doesn't seem redundant. You're going to have to follow your instruments. And may it be always said for time immemorial that somewhere along the way in your training, a little blonde-headed midget came along to preach, and he said, follow your instruments. Go with the Word of God. Go with the indwelling Spirit. Go with the peace that God gives that passes all understanding, and the peace that is to rule in your heart, to the which also you're called. I want to just divide our thoughts up for this morning in just a few ways. Number one, I want us to see the facts. Look at the facts. He says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. No, we're trusting in the God of the Bible. We're trusting in the Word of God. We're trusting in God's Word to take us through when we don't understand and when we can't see and when things don't make sense. Listen to what the Scripture says, Psalm 4 and verse 5. Offer the sacrifices of righteousness and put your trust in the Lord. Listen to what the Bible says in Psalm 31 and verse 6. I have hated them that regard lying vanities, but I trust in the Lord. Psalm 37 and verse 3. Trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. The Bible says in Psalm 40 and verse 3, He hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord. Psalm 73 and verse 28, It is good for me to draw near to God. I have put my trust in the Lord God, that I may declare all thy work. Psalm 115 and verse number 10, O house of Aaron, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. By the way, that was an admonition to the priests, to the spiritual leaders, the ones that were the pace setters. Psalm chapter 115 and verse 11, Ye that fear the Lord, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. Psalm 118 and verse 8, It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in men. Psalm 118 and verse 9, It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in princes. Here the Bible tells us we're to trust in the Lord. In Proverbs 28 and verse 25, He that is of a proud heart stirreth up strife, but he that putteth his trust in the Lord shall be made fat. That means God's going to bless him. That means fat is good. Well, that's a good revelation. I bet some of you weren't expecting that. That means you can pile a little extra fettuccine Alfredo when Brother Marco Piro puts it on your plate, and you can have a second helping to the dessert bar. Somebody say amen right there. Amen. I preach a message called Fat is Good. Fat is In. Skinny is Out and Fat is In. And praise God for that. You look at the Bible. Some of you preachers ought to preach a message along those lines. He says, if you trust in the Lord, you'll be made fat. Well, get rid of all these fat shamers then. Don't let them look down at you. You look down at them. Look at what the Bible says. Proverbs 29 and verse 25. The fear of man bringeth a snare, but whoso putteth his trust in the Lord shall be safe. Are you following it? Are you getting the facts of what the Bible says? The Bible says, whoso trusteth in the Lord shall be safe. Now thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. Trust ye in the Lord forever, for in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. I could be speaking to a freshman right now that says, I'm just one-third of the way through my second semester, and I don't know how I'm going to pay my bills, and I don't know how I'm going to make it, and I don't understand all that's going on, and I wish that I could have had a date to the Valentine's banquet, but I didn't even get that. I mean, I wish things aren't going my way. Trust in the Lord. You can trust in the Lord through every curve, through every twist, through every rapid, through every high butte, through every narrow pass. You can trust in the Lord, and you can trust Him with your entire... Look, if you can trust Him with your salvation, you can trust Him with anything. Now, I want to say that. And I want to say it emphatically, that if you'll trust in the Lord, you'll not regret it. You'll not be ashamed. You'll not look back and wish that you had done things differently. You can trust in the Lord. So the facts are, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Watch this. Watch me now. This isn't a half-hearted thing. This isn't partially something we should do. This isn't something we do with most of our heart or 90%. No. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. You can trust in Him. And you trust in your instruments by trusting in His Word. Trusting in His Word. I said this the other day, and I want to just say it now because it's a little point of confusion. The new evangelicals and compromising preachers of the day sometimes will make a dichotomy between Jesus and the Bible. Like they'll say something like this, we don't worship the Bible, we just worship Jesus. Excuse me, you don't know anything about Jesus without the Bible. And these things are inextricably linked. They're absolutely tied together. So my trust in the Lord is not something separate from the Bible. It is completely based upon the Bible. And by the way, usually those that do that are at best deceived. Look here, I'm just going to go on record and say it. Never trust anybody that puts a question mark over this book. This is your instrument. Look here, recently people have been trying to make a big deal. You know, we don't believe we have a perfect English text, and we don't believe we have a perfect Greek text. What? Well, then why are you in the ministry? Maybe you should get out and find an honest job. Really? Well, what do you mean? What do you mean you don't believe you have a perfect Bible? I would be okay with somebody on the other side of the textual argument if they said, all right, I believe the NIV is absolutely perfect. I'd have respect for that. But can you find somebody like that? No. I'd be okay with somebody if they said, well, I believe the Westcott and Hort Greek text is absolutely perfect. But can you find somebody like that? No. Well, if they don't have a perfect Bible, what in the world are they doing? What kind of, is your instrument faulty? Tap, 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 tap. Something's wrong with my altimeter. Tap, 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 tap. Something's wrong with my turn ratio. Tap, 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 tap. Something's wrong with my headwind indicator. Something's wrong with it. Well, it's 98% okay. Well, there's only 2% in question. By the way, don't ever let it, look here. Somebody that puts a question mark over the Word of God doesn't have anything to teach me. Period. I will not posture myself to learn anything from that person, because at best they're deceived and at worst they're a deceiver. And if you think this is something that only is in the compromising ranks, you're wrong. A friend of mine who is up in Indiana, he moved down from Wisconsin. Watch this now. He had moved from a new evangelical church, an evangelical free church, to a Bible-believing Baptist church. Because he'd studied the Bible and he was grown and he wanted to become stronger, and it didn't seem like there was a lot of strength or substance in where he was at. And then his job moved him to Indiana, and he was down trying to find a place in Indiana for his family. And his wife called him from Wisconsin, and she said, I don't know what to do, honey. He said, well, what's wrong? She said, we went to church tonight, and the preacher started a series on the Bible. I said, well, what's wrong with that? He said to us, now don't worry, in the controversy of the Bible, only 17% of the Bible or the New Testament is in question. As if, you know, there might be some doubt about 17%. Well, you do the math. You do the math of 17% of the New Testament. You're X-ing out complete books. Something's bad wrong with that. And by the way, that was in an independent Baptist church and a preacher that had been influenced by some seminary deadhead, professor, bucktooth, bird brain, pigeon-toed, cross-eyed professor at some cemetery somewhere. And you can go ahead and quote Dwight Smith as saying it. Watch this. I would never trust anyone that puts a question mark over the Bible. That's my instrument. That's what's going to get me out of a fog. That's what's going to help me through a storm. Are you kidding me? The Bible says trust in the Lord. What does that mean? It means trust in His Word. Trust in His Word. Whew. That's my instrument. So number one, I want you to notice the facts. Number two, it says here, it says trust in the Lord with all thine heart. And then it says lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him. What way? Well, the way that I'm flying. Where's the horizon? Altitude, your altitude meter also determines your attitude. Are you going to do a nosedive? You see, I'm not so sure that I want to be in the cockpit. I kind of have dreams and visions of someday being in the cockpit and getting my pilot's license. That'd be fun. But nobody that knows me thinks that's a good idea. I don't know why. Brother Lucan makes fun of my driving, but I had a real ministry when he was in the pastorate, and we drove places to help him trust in the Lord. But anyway, when you're driving, you've got four wheels on the ground. You just have to worry about right, left, look in your rearview mirror a little bit. You gotta watch your gauges a little bit. But man, when you're flying, you've got this whole thing, and it can go any which way, and there's wind gusts to deal with. And there's your speed, and there's the, I just don't know. I kind of think maybe that'd be a good idea, but maybe that'll be in my next life. I don't know. But he says, lean not unto thy own understanding, in all thy ways acknowledge Him. What ways? Well, let's just think about what those ways might be. I ought to acknowledge Him in my prayer life. I should acknowledge Him in my pursuit of a spouse. I should acknowledge Him in my studies. I should acknowledge Him in my job choices. I should acknowledge Him in my friendships. I should acknowledge Him in my Let's see. I should acknowledge him in my raising of my children and my family. I should acknowledge him in my attitude and in my spirit. I should acknowledge him in all my ways. I should acknowledge him in how I face temptation. By the way, sometimes our ways are wrong. Ways. This would be, think it like this. When you see the word ways in the Bible, think of paths. You know, I'm so thankful that God made the word and made life simple for us. And he made the manual simple for us. I like simple. Anybody here beside me like simple? I like simple. When I'm putting something together, I like pictures. When I go out to eat, I like pictures. You know, I don't want to spend a lot of time thinking about it. My wife is the exact opposite. She wants to read everything on the menu and then go back halfway through it and then ask the waitress questions. But that's my wife, and she's wonderful. That's why God gave her to me, so that she could take care of some of the details that I don't see. But when I look at it, I kind of look at it and say, I'm kind of in the mood for that. What'd you order? That's what I want. I don't spend a lot of time wasting my life on details, you know what I mean? Like that. And so I like simple, and God made it simple. When Jesus came, he talked about our ways. He talked, remember this, preacher boys, don't make things complicated. Make things simple. He talked about water. He used metaphors of ways. He used the metaphor of gifts. He used the metaphor of life. He used metaphors that were simple, easy, anybody could grab hold of. And ways, when you think of ways in the Bible, just think of a path. Now, it'd be interesting to do some digital GoPro of your paths on this campus. Some of you'd make a lot of trips to the gym. Some of you may make a lot of trips back to the buffet. Some of you'd make a lot of trips. Some of you'd make a lot of trips to the library. Some of you'd make zero trips to the library. I mean, it'd be interesting to see your paths as they go. If you think about it, we don't think about it right now because we got concrete and we got asphalt everywhere, and we don't think this is a path that is etched. But in Bible times, and even in many places around the world today, there are paths that are etched down on the ground, because that's where people travel. And you know, sometimes in our mind, we have paths that we have developed that are wrong. Ways to deal with problems and crises. Ways to deal with temptation or lust. Ways the scientists and biologists have proven that there's a little shot of dopamine for a little pleasure impulse for things that make us happy. And so we go back to that. And that after a while becomes a way. And that's why the scripture says in the book of 2 Chronicles, if my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. Sometimes I need God to take a stick of dynamite, put it down in my way, and walk away while he blows it up and reconfigures the paths. Okay? He says in Romans chapter 12, be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Be transformed. He says, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. What's that? God completely wiping out some old paths in our brains and our habits and the way that we used to handle things and forming new ones. Now, they say someday we're going to get a bypass here in Shelby. And you know they've been talking about it ever since I was in college. That's a long time ago. I mean, older than some of you. But it looks like maybe this is going to happen. Finally, they put money and they allocate it. Finally, some businessman pulls some strings. Finally, somebody makes a call to some congressman or senator or mayor of Lattimore. And they say, look, we've been waiting on this thing way too long. And they finally get the thing beat down and all excavated. And they get asphalt down. And now they got stripes. And hopefully in 5 years, they'll finally open the thing up. I mean, it's exciting to see progress. I mean, Charlotte doesn't have anything on us. We're making progress around here. But you know what is needed? Some new ways. Well, then guess what? Those old ways are not going to be traversed as much. I drove by the gas station that used to be so trafficked that was old West Lee Street. I thought, man, these people must struggle now. They don't get as much traffic. Watch this now. Listen to me. Some of the ways and habits and patterns in your mind, they need to stop. The traffic needs to stop. They need to put some dynamite. They need to make new roads. And God can do that. Watch this. Again, everything comes back to the Bible through the Word. So number one, I want us just to consider the facts. The facts are clearly placed in the Bible. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. In all thy ways acknowledge Him. I don't think there's any way too small to bring to the Lord. When I was young, I read a book by a preacher. He was my first pastor. And he said, you need to ask the Lord what you should wear when you get up in the morning. That's a good idea. That helps some of you girls make the decision quicker. That's a good idea. Well, just ask the Lord, Lord, what do you want me to wear? Which way do you want me to go to work? You know what that's doing? That's saying, I'm going to acknowledge Him in all my ways. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Wow. All right, these are the facts. Number two, I want you to notice the fog. Now, this is not something I'm drawing from the text, but it's something I'm drawing from the thought of the message. Sometimes, young people, sometimes we get in a fog. Sometimes it's a funk. The evangelist usually gets in a funk in late spring or late fall because he's been preaching too many meetings in a row and he's tired of it all and he's tired of hearing Revive Us Again one more time and he's just in a funk, okay? Now, I like Revive Us Again. I don't hate it like Richard Harper. Bless his heart. You know, one day my friend Phil Harper, Richard's brother, and I, we sent Richard Harper a bunch of songs or a bunch of recordings of Revive Us Again. He hates Revive Us Again. I sent it to him playing the accordion. He hates the accordion. Richard Harper makes a mistake when he tells or speaks about things he hates around me. But anyway, he says, well, I just want you to think, it's the evangelist, he gets tired of it. Late spring, late fall, he's tired of dealing with it. Sometimes he's dealt with three ornery pastors in a row, or ornery pastors' wives, or whatever. Or he's dealt with three ornery members, or he's had to get in a street fight 3 weeks in a row with the devil, and he's just weary. And then he's taking care of his kids, which he loves. By the way, I'm so glad to have some of my kids with me, Peter and Andrew and Audra. She's here. She's just with her Oma right now. But, I you know, sometimes you get in a funk. Sometimes as a pastor, you get in a funk. Sometimes as a Christian, you get in a fog. You say, whoa, I can't see. Sometimes it's because of circumstances. Circumstances that you weren't expecting. By the way, I don't think that God made us to process the amount of information that is available on social media. I don't think God made us to process that. Oh, this tragedy here, that tragedy here. Used to be it was a tragedy within your family or a tragedy within your workforce or fellow workers or a tragedy within your church. Now when you open up social media, you've got tragedies every other hour. I don't think God made us to process all that. And I don't think it's good for you to focus on that. But I want you to understand sometimes that can cause a fog. Sometimes it's because of crossroads. Boom. You're coming to a crossroads. And maybe it's that God brought you to crossroads. Maybe God's saying, hey, listen up. I'm tired of the way you've been behaving. Let's get it right. And God will speak very clearly in that regard. Sometimes it's crossroads of decisions that you're having to make because of the circumstances you're in. Sometimes the fog comes from choices, the choices of others that affect you. Sometimes the fog comes from confusion. Now, young people, listen to me. If you doubt, you mark it down. Those doubts are not from the Lord. And I'm not saying you're a bad person because you doubt. I'm just saying, when you doubt, remember, the devil's currency is doubt, not the Holy Spirit's currency. He doesn't deal in doubt. He doesn't deal in confusion. And if you're doubting here, if you came to me and said, preacher, I've been doubting the existence of God, can I tell you something? That would not surprise me. In a Bible-believing Baptist college where people are training for the ministry, that would not surprise me. And I wouldn't think less of you as a person. You know why? Because I know that you have a flesh. And I know there's a devil. And I know that the devil could try to knock you off your feet before you even get off the tarmac. And I would still love you. And I hope that you would know that. But I just want you to understand as well that the devil deals in the currency of doubt. The Holy Spirit deals in the currency of truth and conviction. If you're getting a lot of, well, what if this, and what if that, and maybe this, and maybe that, and maybe it is, well, maybe it isn't. And some people are a little bit more prone to that than others. The more analytical, the detail-oriented people sometimes are a little bit more prone to that. Look here, the Holy Spirit deals in the clear, still, small voice of the Word of God, which is absolute, which is convincing. The Holy Spirit doesn't deal in what ifs. That's not his currency. He doesn't deal in confusion. He doesn't want you doing a holding pattern over and over and over again. He doesn't want you going in a vortex of doubt. Sometimes the fog comes from conflict. Now, I don't think that a preacher or a Christian should be always looking for a fight. Some guys, that's all they're doing is looking for a fight. They're looking to get in a fight in every which way, sometimes at the worst times possible, and they're looking for a fight. Some people don't ever want to get in a fight. The Bible balance is to understand what fights matter according to the Word of God and what fights don't, and to get in the fights that pertain to you. Now look here, I wouldn't trust a man that wouldn't fight for his wife and for his family. John Piper was talking about war, defending his family. He said, I don't know what I'd do if somebody came in and was raping my wife. Excuse me, I would never trust that man again. Ever. I would never read any of his books. I would never quote him. You don't have enough backbone to stand up for your wife? I know what I'd do. If you want to talk to me afterwards, I'll tell you. You don't mess with my wife. Are you kidding me? That man's got problems if he won't defend. If he doesn't know what he's going to do to defend his wife in a time like that, something's bad wrong with that guy. All right. A guy that wouldn't defend his family or his children, he wouldn't jump in that fight. A pastor that wouldn't defend his people and ward off the wolves of false doctrine and predators, something's bad wrong with that preacher. You see? There are some fights that you need to get involved in. Don't be always looking for a fight. Don't be always avoiding a fight, but know what fights matter according to the Word of God and be willing to get in those fights. And you don't get in a fight to go on in endless wars. You get in a fight to end it. That's what you do. Well, sometimes in the midst of the heat of battle, guess what happens? There's a fog. You're not sure if that form in the other few feet away from you is friend or foe. Are you friend or foe? Sometimes you don't know. You've lost your visual. You used to preach, what do you do? Well, you can trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and you can acknowledge him in all your ways, or you can lean on your own understanding. And if you lean on your own understanding, it's not going to be good. Number three is the failure. What's the failure? When folks lean on their own understanding. Let's ask a few people this morning, what's it like to lean on their own understanding? Hey, Abraham, I need you, and I need Sarah, and Hagar. Hey, what's it like over there in Genesis chapter 16 when you all leaned on your own understanding? I mean, Abraham and Sarah, you're way past fruit-bearing years. Surely everybody knows no 80-year-old couple is 90, whatever it was. Nobody knows that you're going to be actually bearing fruit. And that's what Sarah said. I mean, it's not going to be me, honey. Look at me. I got wrinkles. I'm way past the crow's feet stage. Look at me. This isn't going to happen. Sweetheart, I think God wanted it to happen through Hagar, our maid. So we're going to help God fulfill his promise by you having an affair with my maid. Whoa! Genius! Brilliance! Woo! Sign me up to follow that reasoning. Now, we can say that because we're armchair quarterbacks. But, you know, if you were Abraham and Sarah, you'd say, yeah, I think the Lord missed it on this one. He needs our help. You know what that is? That's your own understanding. Hey, Abraham, Sarah, Hagar, how'd that work out? It didn't work out. It didn't work out. I can tell you as Abraham that I should never have listened to my wife when she wanted me to do what was wrong. By the way, sir, when it's time for you to lead and your wife or your children want you to go a way that's contrary to the Word of God, that's time for you to lead, not follow. Sarah, how'd that work out? It didn't work out. Your plans, you're leaning on your own understanding. How'd that work out, Sarah? It didn't work out. Hagar, how'd that work out? Well, not so good because I had this baby, and then I got pretty proud, and then I was despised, and my child was despised, and I took off running, and then I raised my son. He was against every man was against him. Hey, Jacob, how'd it work out? How'd that work out for you? Leaning on your own understanding when you were trying to secure the blessing of God your way, and then get the wife that you wanted your way? How'd that work out to lean on your own understanding? How'd that work out for you? You know, it didn't work out. There was all kinds of conflict, and unnecessarily so, and it just didn't work out. And honestly, I leaned on my own understanding for several years until finally I submitted not to the God of my fathers, but to my God. Well, how'd that work out for you, Isaac, to lean on your own understanding? To lean on your own understanding and follow your intuition. Well, it didn't work out too well. I was trusting in my own sight, and I blessed the wrong son. Well, how'd that work out for you, Moses, to lean on your own understanding when the Lord said, "Speak to the rock"? And these people are over here in a boiling, rebellious frenzy, and they're murmuring, and you just had enough. How'd it work out for you, Moses, to lean on your own understanding, and you lost your temper, and you smote the rock twice? How did that work out for you? It didn't work out. I mean, God blessed. By the way, sometimes God blesses even though I'm not honoring Him. And I should always honor Him. And if I honor Him, He will bless, ultimately. But the truth is, sometimes He blesses in spite of me, not because of me. And He certainly, if there's disobedience, that's clear disobedience from the Word of God, if there's blessing, bet yourself it is a blessing in spite of you. How'd that work out for you, Moses? Well, the Lord gave water, but He didn't let me get into the promised land. How'd that work out for you, Joshua, leaning on your own understanding, when after the battle at Jericho, you saw victory and you didn't trust in the Lord with Ai? Well, I sought Him after the battle, but men, that's not the time to seek the Lord. It's time to seek the Lord before the battle. How'd that work out for you, Joshua, when the people of Gibeah came and they had old wineskins and moldy bread? They said they were from a country from afar. I made a league with them, and I'm not so sure that was the best decision. How'd that work out for you, Samson, when you knew that God was giving you strength? And then, instead of trusting the Lord and the source of your strength, you began to trust yourself as the source of your strength and your own wisdom and your own understanding, and you ended up in Delilah's lap. How'd that work out for you with your shaved off hair and your gouged out eyes, and now you're round and round and round doing the work of a donkey? How'd that work out for you? It didn't. Hey, Peter, how'd that work out for you when you took your eyes off Jesus? I sank. How'd that work out for you, Peter, when you were caught up with the dissemblers? Well, it didn't work out too well. An entire book is in the Bible because of it. How'd that work out for you, Demas, when you trusted in your own understanding and you followed the world instead of following the man of God and the Word of God? Well, it didn't work out. You see, the failure comes when I disobey this principle and lean on my own understanding. I talked to a friend of mine who just got his pilot's license, and he said, Dwight, I'm telling you. He said, sometimes, he said, you think, your body says, your mind says, your eyes say, that this is the way it is. And the instruments say exactly opposite. He said, your mind and your perception and your body and your feelings, it's wrong. Follow the instruments. Follow the instruments of God's Word. All right, let's just look at what the Bible says. I want you to see the faith that lifts. Look at what the promise is, verse number 6. He shall direct thy paths. He shall direct thy paths. Hey, Hannah. Hey, I know that you were barren for so many years, and you were in a situation that was less than desirable, but hey, how did that work out for you when you trusted the Lord with all your heart and you didn't lean on your own understanding and in all your ways you acknowledged Him? Oh, let me tell you, He gave me Samuel. He gave me Samuel, and it went from the Ichabod generation to the revival generation because of the way that God blessed me. He shall direct your paths. Ha ha, how'd that work out for you, Abraham, when you left the family and you left your kindred and you didn't have a GPS or a Rand McNally map? How'd that work out for you to trust in the Lord and follow him? Oh, he said, my name was Abram. And he said, he changed my name to Abraham, and he's put his breath upon me and in me, and he began to bless me. He said, my seed would be as the sand of the sea and the stars of the heaven. How'd it work out for me? I can't even in words describe. You all are recipients of me making that choice. How'd that work out for you? How'd that work out for you, Paul, when you trusted Christ? You were right high up in the Pharisees. You were trained at the best schools at the feet of Gamaliel. How'd that work out for you, Paul, to trust in the Lord and follow him? Oh, he said, they came after me and tried to kill me in Damascus, and they tried to kill me in Lystra. They tried to kill me here and there. They stoned me. They left me for dead. They dragged me out the city. He said, but look here. He said, I wouldn't regret anything. He said, I've got scars on my body to prove that I've followed Jesus and I've suffered. But he said, trusting in the Lord with all your heart and leaning not unto your own understanding, in all your ways acknowledge him. He shall direct your paths. How'd that work out for you, John the Revelator, who was a follower of Jesus Christ, and they banished you to the Isle of Patmos, and you're left there? Oh, I thought that this would be a great burden. And eventually, they did do me in. But there, in exile, God gave me revelation. Oh, I saw there and penned there what is yet to be for you. And for all of his people, he shall direct thy paths. You see, the button you need to push when you're in a tailspin or in a fog is placing your faith again on the instrument of the Word of God, on seeking his face in prayer and getting his peace that passes all understanding and that keeps your heart and mind. That guidance of the Holy Spirit, the indwelling Holy Spirit. Watch me. Look right here. Some of you are just a little bit down the way of learning that. When I came to college, I knew that God had called me to Ambassador Baptist College. I'd prayed about it. I divvied it down to two schools, and I knew that God, I could take you to the spot where I was when I made the decision to come to this place and go to school. That was the way God directed me, but that's all I had really. Then I had to learn how to trust the Lord to find a mate. And I did. And with God's help, he directed my paths. Then I had to trust the Lord on how to get started in evangelism and how to take meetings and where to go and sometimes where not to go. And he helped me. And then I had to get started on how do I raise my children to honor God. And I'm still in that school. And I'm still trusting him. And I'm still learning. You never get out of school with the Lord. But I can testify today, he shall direct your path. A few years ago, we started a tent ministry, and we started putting up a tent. I had no idea what I was doing. No idea. And yet God directed us. We needed $15,000 for the first tent meeting to meet the budget, and $13,500 came in before the first Monday of the first of 3 weeks. God did it. He shall direct your paths. He'll direct you in good times and bad. He'll direct you when you see clearly and can understand what's going on. And he'll direct you when you can't see it all. Follow your instruments. Father, help us, I pray. Help us as adults. Help us as young people. Help us as teachers, as students, as people in ministry. Help us as preachers and pastors' wives, evangelists, missionaries, and ministry wives. Lord, help us never to doubt the Bible. There's sometimes things I don't understand in this book that I read about. But Lord, I want to say publicly, I've trusted you. And whenever I've trusted you and followed the principle of Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, it's worked out well. Whenever I've gone my own way and done my own thing and leaned on my own understanding, it hasn't worked out so well. Lord Jesus, I pray that you'd arm these young people with the reality that when they see one thing and they feel one thing and they think one thing and the Bible says something different, the Bible's right. Help them to trust their instruments.